We're getting some different color chairs up here. We were kind of inherited a whole bunch of these from my son in St. Albert. They have a church, an Alliance Church, and they sold them to us for $4 a piece. So we're going to have those purple chairs here. Yeah, that's a great gift. That's a wonderful gift. We're starting to move the other chairs over to the new building, and we are really hoping and believing that by Thanksgiving Day, that will be our great time of Thanksgiving. So, yeah, 4 weeks away. 4 weeks away. Thank you, God. And honestly, God is, he is just every step of the way, he is making it happen. He's preparing. I guess that's the way I want to say it. He's preparing the way every step of the way. And we're looking forward to that. But I want you to know about that Thanksgiving Day service. And I think it's really appropriate. I mean, even if we could get in there a week earlier, that might happen, but I don't know for sure. But what a great service to have is a Thanksgiving Day service where it's all about God, and it's all about thanking God. And it's really a great opportunity, and I'm just going to say it, and it's just a great opportunity for you to invite some people to come. Some people will come to church on Thanksgiving Day just because it's that day, and they want to be grateful to God. So think about that and pray about that. And there's a number of things that need to be done yet, so if you want to volunteer your time, let me know or let Alvin know. There's a bunch of cleaning that's going to have to happen, and we still have a few other things that need to be done, but this is exciting times for us, so we're sure grateful for that. Thank you, God. I'm going to ask Luis to come up. He's going to share and encourage us this morning.
Hallelujah. Amen. I love God. I don't know if you love God.
I want to hear you. When we have difficult times, sometimes we go far away from God, or is the chance to go closer to God. So we gonna praise God in all situation, good and bad situations in our life. That is the way that we can have a good relationship with God. Because sometimes we scare what we're going to face in our life. But we need to be sure, have faith that God is working together with us. We are not by ourselves here in this earth. We are here with our Father, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit in our life. I feel confident in any place that we go. Actually, I am reading the Bible, and the Bible says, go and preach and reach all nations. It's not just your city. If you feel confident here, and you are very happy here, and that if you know the truth, and you have a good relationship with God, one day, I don't know when, you're going to live to reach people for Jesus. I would like to talk in Spanish. It's a little bit confident for me, but in this time it's in English, but I know the Holy Spirit is helping me. Some brother and sister, a few months ago, they were asking me, hey, brother, why you don't preach in Spanish here in the church? Some people that I see here, they are laughing, some of them. And I say, I don't know. I was thinking, I didn't say anything. I didn't answer anything. And this time I say, maybe it's God talking to me. Because they didn't know that I preached before. It's a challenge. It's not in English, it's in Spanish. And I remember when I came here in 2005, I'm going to share a little bit about my life. Come from Colombia. When I arrived here with my family, little kids, I remember we were praying to God. We were looking for this life, better life for our children, but we knew in anywhere that we go, we have our Father with us. We feel confident with us. When I arrived here in Red Deer, I remember we come to a hotel and we were praising God. Some Spanish people come and they joined us to praise God, and we were talking about God, and that was awesome. My profession in Colombia is dentist, but when I come here, too much requirement to go through, and I know I am dentist, but I know something else, and I know God is requesting from everyone. It's our responsibility to preach the word of God. Amen. It's not just Jill talking about God, or Pastor Stan, or me. It's everyone that we have to talk about Jesus. In any place that we go, in your job, in the school, in any place, we have to talk about Jesus, about the salvation. Just Jesus can justify us. So we were talking, and in the same time, I was praying and praying and praying and praying. And in this moment in the hotel, one pastor came and invited me to preach in the church. I say, it's not the time yet, but I will be there very soon. And I was there and I was preaching. This picture was there. God was here. All picture that I'm going to show you was here in Red Deer when I come here in 2005. When I was preaching over there, I knew God was working on me. For any reason, He led me some time, and He wanted to teach me more about the Word of God, and I have time with Him. Matthew 28:19-20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. How many people believe in this word? Amen. When I was talking with Pastor Stan a few days ago, actually he was the first person that asked me, why you don't preach in Spanish? So I was thinking, I didn't answer anything. but God did the confirmation through many brothers and sisters. Today we're going to start to pray at 3 p.m., if someone wants to join us, we're going to start this group here. It's a study Bible group in Spanish. But we're going to start just praying, because nobody of the Spanish community know yet about this plan. But God knows the plan. Amen. Amen. So I know something going to be happen very soon. We need to be ready. And God gave me this chance. I am happy to do this, because when we are working for God, it's the best that we can do. So some of the time, or most of the time, we say, oh, I don't have time. I am very busy, man, you know. Some people answer in this time when I invite them to go pray, go and have a time together, go for fast day. Oh, no, you know, Saturday I am very busy. So I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be happy, look before for the heaven of the kingdom, and everything going to be added in your life after. Because if we are looking before for our life, what we're going to do, we're going to be busy all the time, and we never going to be finding time for God. So this is the time. God called wise people, wise man, when they recognize the times. These times, we are in the final time, the end of the time. We are living earthquakes. We are living rumor of war. We are living all stuff that describes the Bible, the Word of God. But some people don't pay attention. And right now, it's time to take care. We have a group here, very strong group in this church. we have to be stronger in the Holy Spirit. We need to pray. We need to help encourage each other every single day. It's not about what the people are talking outside. It's about us with God, what we are doing together. Some people, oh, I feel scared. I don't want to talk. Don't scare. God is with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. I am talking here in English. Few years ago in 2005, I didn't know any word in English. But God, when He wants to work in any place, He's going to take you and go in different place and you're going to talk in different language. You're going to do something different that you never know that you have even any plan for this. But the Holy Spirit knows. Amen. Could you pass the next, please? Thank you. I say thank you for Pastor Stan for this chance. And I'm going to tell you something. The most important for us is the family. For everyone. The devil creates distraction. And in this way, you don't pay attention to the children. But the most important is the family. And he is working with children, the devil. We have to fight. Sometimes we fight to get a house, to get a car, to get any dream that you have. What about that the Word of God is telling you? We need to fight because we are in a war. The Bible says in Ephesus. So we are in a war. You are a soldier of Jesus. So you need to be ready for this war. And in this way, I can show you that if you teach your children, like say in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Some people, I'm going to put my child in a Christian school, say, sometimes, and they're going to teach them. Or I'm going to put there over there on the church, and they're going to teach him, because I don't know too much. But we are responsible for our children. They are not learning from the church, from Christian school. They are learning from our house. I encourage you, go and preach, but before you go and preach, you need to be ready in your house. Because if you are no minister in your house, how you go and gonna reach the people that are out? And this way, you know that you can go out because your first step is in your house, in your home. You're gonna teach your family, and you're gonna be the example to get authority. Because if you say to your children, hey, don't see this show, but after he left the room, you put the show, they say, how you tell me that I cannot see the show and you are watching the show? For some reason, he know that where is the authority in my father? And we are not teaching anything. If you say something with the word and you don't show and you don't add, it's nothing. It's nothing. The next, please. That is very important. God used children through the Bible, and God can use you. Some people say, oh, never. Some people say, they cannot use me. I wanna remember, because some people, you know, the self-esteem is very low for any reason. But we are the same for God. All of us, the same. Depend on you if you believe, if you have faith or no. Because God say in Hebrews 11, what is faith? Faith is belief in something that you cannot see. Because if you see something, it's not faith. So you start to believe in something that you cannot see. In this way, everything becomes reality in your life. But you have to practice. You have to be have courage. I don't know how to say in English, but I want to tell you, I want to encourage you. Look for the truth. Because sometimes we are walking and sometimes we go and go close to Jesus, but sometimes we are far away from Jesus. He doesn't like these people. He wants that you be all the time close to him and be persistent like the disciples with Jesus. And this time he lives together with Jesus. We need to live together with Jesus all the time. It's the way that we can avoid and be far away from the sins. How you take care about your life, about your spiritual life, about your family, about what he recommends you that you need to preach to the people and reach the people. What are you doing in this life? What happened if Jesus is coming today? How is your life today? Are you ready to go with Jesus? So, Jesus, I remember, Jesus never, he doesn't like the people, wise man or people that are very smart. When he come here, he say, nobody recognize me when I come here like Son of God. Where is the people, the wise man? But the Bible teach us in many different ways. I remember, the next please, I remember a donkey that was talking one day in the Bible. He can use a plant. He can use a rock. He can use any person, any stuff in this life. And you say, I am not ready to talk? It's no excuse. Do you think I can stand in front and face Jesus and say, Jesus, you put me in Canada? I couldn't talk in English. I couldn't say anything. Sometimes the people laugh on my face because my English is no good and I scared and I say, no, I won't talk. No, I'm going to talk. I encourage you. I encourage you today. It's not about glory, about man. It's glory to God. Amen. He is in control of all things, everything you can see and things you cannot see. God used all things for his glory. He can use a storm, accident, sickness, health, plants, animal creation, adults, kids, anything that he wants to use. He even used a donkey in the Old Testament to stop the land. You can read this in number 22. That is beautiful. Because I don't scare. And you don't scare when you believe in Jesus. Amen. I don't scare about the people when they say sometimes you find people, even brother and sister that you think are brother and sister, and they don't encourage you. Sometimes they say, hey Luis, are you not working? What are you doing? You have 3 children. You have your wife. You need to be responsible. Go and get the job. Any job doesn't matter. I say everything is coming through Jesus. Jesus called, go and look before for the kingdom of the heaven. And the rest gonna be added in my life. I believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the human being. I believe in Jesus. Amen. Is Margarita singing in the church. When we are right here, and when we are right here, we didn't show any certification. What do you think we show over there? And Margarita was the lead. Since she put the feet over there or the foot over there in this church, the pastor said you're going to be the lead of this group. Why? It's not understandable. It's just the Holy Spirit, like the Bible say. Wherever you go, you don't need to show any certification. Amen. And Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Hallelujah. When you are ready, and when you see that you can change, because this is not the sacrifice. The sacrifice was done by Jesus. Now we are talking about something that I listen. When I arrived to this church, I encourage you guys, you have to be the same level that Kim. It's not casual that you are together to Kim. This lady was talking this day, and we are talking in this time about love, about grace. But the people want to go back and be a slave. Sometimes say, oh, Luis is rude. Jesus was rude too. Because sometimes he didn't talk with love. He talked with love, but at the same time, he disciplined the children. I'm sorry, because sometimes it's the Holy Spirit. He's working on me. And when I'm telling you something, it's because I know he's talking. And I know we are talking about the law and the grace. And when the grace, when I come here to this church and I put my foot over there and I listen, there are a difference between both. And we are living through Jesus in love. It's because he forgives us and we start a new life with him. So when you know Jesus, when you are ready to change, it's not about sacrifice, it's about love. So when you do something, if you fell in love with your wife, you change. You change because you love her. Not because you want to do a sacrifice, it's because you love her. When you met Jesus, you change because you love him. Love him. Look for this relationship. He is waiting for you. He has opened the arm waiting for you. But I don't know what you're doing when you wake up. I don't know what you're doing when you go to your bed. But he is requesting from all of us. If you want to know what he wants for you, what is your goal? Because Jesus, when come here, he has a goal. He was preaching and he died for us. You have a goal too, like Jesus. Go and reach your goal. Achieve your goal. It's no excuse. I'm so sorry, but the next, please. Grace be with you. God bless you. I'm going to leave you this verse, and I am finishing with that, and I want to say thank you again to Pastor Stan. To believe in me, I know this is the Holy Spirit that would, he feel confident to tell me, go and preach. I know something gonna be happen, and here I gonna give you the confirmation again about for what kind of people God is looking for. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. Thank you very much.
Oops.
Ooh, thank you, Lord. I don't think there's anybody doubting whether he can preach. And you know, it's really true that God gives you gifts. So I think what Luis is saying is what you hear all the time. God gives you gifts, so use them. Don't wait for me or for leadership or for anyone else to invite you. You know, let God lead you by His Spirit. You have gifts, so use your gifts. And I really believe, and it's sort of been the philosophy or what we believe here for a long, long time, that we need to equip people. We need to find ways to help people to use the gifts that that God's given them so that more people come to know Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that really matters. That's the only thing that really matters, that people come to know the Lord. And after the service, we're going to pray for the whole family, I believe. That'd be really important. I hope that's okay. Maybe a few of the leaders and some others that we just want to lay hands on you and pray for you and just pray for God to lead. And what an exciting thing, you know, that there could be a ministry, a Spanish ministry, that could be happening here. And there's a growing, I don't know if you know that, but there's a growing Spanish community in this city. And more are coming in, more and more need to know about Jesus Christ. And thank God, thank Him for His for the way He's moving and using gifts. I just really feel like we need to do a song. So I'm going to ask Kim and Luis to come up and maybe a few of the other musicians. We're going to worship and see what God does. Amen. Ooh, thank you, God.
Amen.
For you, God, I just want to worship Jesus. Just stay seated and just, we learned this song last week and we didn't learn all of it. We're going to learn all of it today. And just worship God. The time and place to set apart. I stand away at who you are. I'm overcome by what you got. Oh, I'm here right now. I need you now. I lift your name above the dust. It's my offering for you.
Oh.
Song and the other half you follow me, okay? So try it. Here we go.
All we're here, all we're here.
Go, Kim.
All came down and we are free.
Keep going with that.
All we'll hear, all we'll see.
Let me hear ya.
Love came down, and we are free. All we'll hear, all we'll see. Love came down, and we are free.
Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You may be seated. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, thank you, God. And that's what it's about. It's what Luis was talking about. It's what God's Word continues to drive home to us, that it's got to be all about God, not about us, not about my circumstance, not about my weakness. It's got to be all about God, about what God can do, about how God moves, about how God changes lives. He's doing it, you know, He's really doing it. And we need to encourage each other with these words that our God's not dead. He's a God of hope. He's a God who still changes lives. He's a God who still brings the girls off the streets and sets the addicted free and sets the prideful and the lustful, whatever. We can be free from our sins. We do not need to be chained to who we were. Amen? Thank you, God. Yeah, freedom. Give him a hand. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Gonna try to just to get to the heart of it today, but just pray with me, will you? Thank you, God, for being here. Thank you for reminding us that it's all for you. And Lord, just speak. We need to be encouraged today. Just speak to us, God, and let your word be alive and vibrant and fresh. And I pray, Holy Spirit, just for you to have your way here today. We know that the enemy wants to interrupt and he wants to try to drive us away from your truth and get us on the wrong track. So just keep us focused, God. We pray for freedom in this place to worship you. Freedom in this place to worship you, Jesus. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to kind of pick up what we talked about last week. If you were here last week, you know we were talking about how sometimes we give the enemy a foothold. And that's what Paul was talking about, that you know we give him leverage, we give him a foothold, we allow him just a little spot in our lives, and before long he takes more territory and more territory and more territory. And there's a lot of us who nod our heads at that. We know what that's like. We know that when we give Satan any room at all, he'll take that and he'll take more. Reading in Ephesians chapter 4 to start with, going to back up to where we were. Verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Amen? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those who are in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not, here's a part we're going to talk about today, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Amen. I guess it kind of follows naturally, and you'll see the connection here, that if it's true that we ought not to let the devil have a foothold in our lives, that we shouldn't give him that room, we shouldn't sublet just a part of our lives to him, that if we do that, it grieves God. And that's why Paul moves on to the next part of this teaching. You know, last week telling us about how if you steal, you got to steal no more. You got to change the way you live. That there's a responsibility, and it's up to us. The business about whether it's us who gives the enemy a foothold. It isn't anyone else's fault. It's my fault. It's my fault when the enemy gains a foothold in my life. And he goes on from that today to say, you know what, when we do that, when we live that way,
when we give the enemy that kind of leverage in our lives, whatever that is, and it can be 100 different things, the button that he pushes for you is probably different than a button. He knows our buttons. He knows how we'll stumble and fall. But that when we do that, that when we fall, that when we give that enemy a foothold, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to think about that this morning, and I want you to understand today what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit, and have us look at our church and look at our lives and to decide and to analyze and to examine whether we've been grieving Him in our own lives. The word grief is a pretty strong word, and you might have thought that because this is all in the context of anger, don't be angry, and if you're angry, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You might have thought that Paul might have said that when we live that way, the Holy Spirit is angered, but that's not the word he uses. He says the Holy Spirit is grieved when we decide to give the enemy that kind of permission in our lives. He's grieved. And that word, it's an important word. What it does too is it really brings out the personality of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, that he is a person. He is the person of the Holy Spirit, and he can be grieved. And it's different than some of the other passages that talk about how you can put out the Spirit's fire or you can quench the Holy Spirit. In this case, he's talking about really the person, the identity of the Holy Spirit, because only a person can be grieved. And that the Holy Spirit is grieved by the way we live sometimes. And understanding that grief, when people grieve, and I did a lot of reading this week just to learn more about that word and learn about grieving, but that when people grieve, there's a withdrawal that happens. There's a pulling away from the rest of it all. There's a pulling up stakes almost and going to a quiet place when you grieve. When you're really grieving, you withdraw and you detach yourself. And that's the word, and that's what happens. Let's get this clear today. That's what happens with the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit withdraws from us. He detaches himself from us because he's so grieved. He's so heartbroken. That's one of the definitions of this word in the Greek language. He's so heartbroken. His soul is sorrowful. And he withdraws. He goes, I just like we would do when we grieve. Just like we would do. I've had the privilege of enjoying a lot of different emotions with a lot of different people. I've experienced joy at the birth of little children. I've been at that ward. I've experienced people getting married and love, the amazing love at a marriage ceremony. Crazy good, But I don't think there's any emotion that I've ever experienced stronger than the emotion of grief. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. When people really, truly grieve, when they've really lost something, and it's a terrible, terrible loss. And maybe you've been there before where you've heard this deep-pitted moan and cry that comes deep from within them that almost doesn't even sound human. You know what I'm talking about? That wailing, that broken heart is what grief is. And know this today, that the Holy Spirit grieves like that. When we reject God's truth, when we go our own way, when we give the enemy permission to be in control of our lives, it's that word. And understand that. We wonder sometimes, well, where's God? How come God's not any closer? Why is there no more revival? How come we're not seeing the healings and the miracles? There's lots of answers to that question, but I don't think there's any question, there's no better answer than the answer that the Holy Spirit is grieved by His church. He's grieved by this world. He's maybe even grieved by our own lives. And he has detached himself because of that grief. He has found a quiet place to be away from us because of our disobedience. Why does it matter? Because the Holy Spirit is a holy God. He's a holy God. He's a consuming fire, and he will not endure. He will not put up with that sin, with that brokenness that's in our lives. And a lot of times it's a willful brokenness. Let's admit it. A lot of times what we do on purpose. We do over and over again. We do because we feel like doing it, and we don't care what God thinks. And God, the Holy Spirit, is a holy God. And he can't live in that context of that brokenness and that blackness and of that sin. And maybe you say, well, so who cares? What difference does it make anyways? And that's a dangerous thing to say, right? So what if the Holy Spirit leaves me? So what if I grieve the Holy Spirit? What difference is it going to make actually in my life? Well, let me point something out to you today from what God's Word says. He says that God's Word, he says that the Holy Spirit, I should say, has sealed us for that day of redemption. That the whole, let me say that again. The Holy Spirit has sealed us for that day of redemption. And then if you back with up with me, just I'm not going to be long today, but Ephesians chapter 1, read this with me too. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul says, and you can see that this is sort of a theme for the whole book of Ephesians. He says, and when you also were included in Christ, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, which is the promised Holy Spirit. You get that? There's that word seal again. When you became a Christian, in other words, when you believed, you were marked with the seal, with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. You have, if you are a believer in Christ, you have the seal of the Holy Spirit upon you. And you better not stand here this morning and go, well, so what? Like, what does that mean? And who cares whether I have it or not? You need to know how vital and how important it is. You have been sealed, the Word of God says. You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is proof of who you are. It's a whole new identity. I want to just say three things about that seal real quickly. That the first thing that happens when something is sealed is that it is authenticated. Okay, it's authenticated. It means it's made real. It's proven to be the genuine article. And that's what happens. When we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, it's like God saying, you're the real deal. You're saved. You're washed. You're forgiven. I live in you. You're going to heaven. Right? We need that. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. It authenticates my faith. Whenever someone would put a seal on something, that's a stamp that says, this is valid. This is true. This is true. That's what you have, okay? First thing. The first thing you have when you have the Holy Spirit in your life is you're validated. It's genuine. You are the genuine child of the King. You have the King's own seal upon you. Amen? Secondly, you want to know why it's important that we have this seal of the Holy Spirit? It's because it's a seal of ownership. The seal of the Holy Spirit is a seal of ownership. It's God saying, you're mine. This is mine. This is my property. This is my son. This is my daughter. You belong to me. I am not my own. I am not my own. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, right? I'm not my own. That seal of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can clap. That's okay. That seal of the Holy Spirit is about who I belong to. It's about who I belong to. It's about ownership. It's like, and I know you might not like this analogy, but it's like the cattle, the guy who is a rancher, and he puts his brand. He puts his brand on his cattle, or the shepherd puts his mark on the sheep.
I like it.
Yeah. He's got his mark on you. And that mark is the mark of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So it means it's about ownership. It's about who you belong to. I want you to look at something. You see this thing? Some of you can't see it. It's the $300 ring I bought for my wife 34 years ago. And back then, that was a cheap ring. I just didn't have any money, all right? That ring says that she belongs to me, and I don't mean that in a bad way or in an enslaving kind of way, but that ring means that she is mine. She is completely mine. She is entirely mine, and you better keep your hands off of her. There's a few of you who might need to listen to that today. Because she's beautiful, because she's special. But you know what? She's mine. She's mine. I put a ring on it. Right? She's mine. She's my wife. She's my partner. She's the one who makes me whole. And what the Holy Spirit is in our lives. That Holy Spirit is God's way of saying, man, this is who you are. This is who you are. And the third thing that the seal means is it's about endurance. It's a seal of endurance, or just in layman's terms or easy terms, it means it lasts. When God puts His Holy Spirit into your heart, into your life, it means it's going to last. It's not going to just pass away. It's not going to fade away. God gives His Spirit. It's about permanence. I am with you always, even to the end of the age, and you are going to be in heaven with me. Look at. Let me read that one more time in Ephesians 1. He says, this is the seal. This is the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. You getting that? You're God's possession. You belong to Him, and you're going to be His until that day of redemption. Isn't that great? Until that day of redemption. It's sealed. It's a done deal. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be careful that we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. Because as we grieve the Holy Spirit, He does what any of us would do when we grieve. He pulls away. He disavows Himself of us. He finds a quiet place where He doesn't need to be around all the rest of us, because He can't live with that blackness in our lives. He disenfranchises Himself. And you know, it's time to look at our lives, and it's time to look at our churches. Years ago, Charles Spurgeon, he preached a sermon on this passage, and he proclaimed against the church. And he talked about the church who wasn't baptizing much anymore, and there weren't many converts, and the church was very selfish. And I read through that this week. I just read through one of his sermons. I'd like to read them once in a while. And I just thought, wow, Charlie, you should have seen what this was going to become. If you thought it was bad back in the 1800s, in the middle of the 1800s, you should see the church today. And we ought to acknowledge today, we ought to admit today that the church in so many, many ways is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're wondering why the Holy Spirit doesn't seem to be very closely connected to His church, it's because we've been grieving Him so much. We're grieving the Holy Spirit, and it's a serious business. Whenever our programs and our buildings and our empires become more important than the people, we grieve the Spirit of God. Whenever the numbers, the church growth, whenever the numbers become more important than the truth of the gospel and the desire to help those who are really in need, we grieve the Spirit of God. Whenever we're building our own empires and we're holding up pastors as if they're Jesus Christ Himself, and we're saying we're following them as heroes, and instead of following the true Christ, whenever we're doing that, we're grieving. Are you listening? We're grieving the Holy Spirit. Whenever we want more people to come to church just because it looks more successful and because they bring in more money, rather than we want them to come to church because they need to be saved and they're bound for hell and they need the grace of God. Whenever we mix those two things up, we grieve. We really grieve the Holy Spirit. Whenever we fight with each other or fight with other churches or put other people down or whatever, we have that spirit, as Paul talked about in Ephesians 4, of slander and of criticism and of anger. And whenever we tear up the church and we build factions and schisms instead of one church in one foundation, whenever we disunify the body of Christ, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Whenever we take the truth and we file away its offense, and we keep filing it away so that it'll be more palatable, so that people will accept it even though it doesn't mean anything anymore, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Are you listening? We're grieving Him when we do that. Whenever we take the cost of following Jesus Christ and we say, well, let's not talk about that. Let's not talk about sin. Let's certainly not talk about blood, because it's not bringing people into church. And we need more people to come in. But whenever we do that and we water down the truth so that the rich and the beautiful will come, we grieve. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Yeah, this is a hard message. Hard to hear. It's hard to deliver. And you know, because we're not just talking about, oh, those guys out there. We're not going to walk away going, boy, he sure nailed the Baptist today. You know, there's a part of this. There's an indictment in this for all of us, me included. There's an indictment that we slip into these things and we grieve God's Spirit. And when that happens, when we grieve the Spirit of God, He will, like a dove, sometimes for a season, He'll flutter away and He'll leave us until we confess and until we correct what needs to be corrected. He never leaves us forever. That's good news. He never leaves us to condemn, but He will leave us so that we'll turn to Him in obedience. And I'm saying today that the church, us included, we have grieved the Holy Spirit. We have grieved Him with our disunity, with, how about a lack of gratitude? The times when we stand before God and we keep saying, well, more God, more. I want this, I want that, and here's my shopping list. But we're not really grateful. We're not thanking God. We're not living that life of gratitude. Don't you think that the Holy Spirit is grieved when His people worship in that way? It isn't worship to praise God and to thank God and to give Him all the glory, but it's a worship. Instead of our hands, it's our hands like this. More God. Give me more money. Give me a better place to live. Give me this. Give me that. That lack of gratitude leaves the Holy Spirit grieving. And that is a hard message. I know. But here it gets even harder. Because now we got to get a little more personal. Because the church is you. And the church is me. And the question that this word and that the truth compels me to ask you today is this question: what about you? What about you? Have you been grieving God's Holy Spirit? Maybe you say, well, I don't know. How am I supposed to know that? How do I know if I've been grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, let me give you a couple of indicators. If you're sitting here today and you're sleeping with your eyes open, you got that kind of dull glaze and nothing means anything anymore, and you're just bored, maybe it's because the Holy Spirit is no longer on fire inside of you. He's a consuming fire. Maybe you've grieved Him and there's a sin in your life that needs to be confessed. I said to Crystal the other day, we were with a whole bunch of different people, and there's just one little girl that just wasn't, we were all singing songs, but she wasn't singing. And I'm not going to get into all that, but here's another indicator. If you don't have a song on your heart, maybe I'm being a little presumptuous here because I've always got a song in my heart, but if you used to have a song on your heart and you don't have that song on your heart anymore, maybe you should consider why. Maybe it's because you've grieved the Holy Spirit. Listen to God right now. And I know that some of you don't want to hear this, and the enemy certainly doesn't want us to listen to this, but we're going to listen. We're going to hear God. We're going to open up our ears. Amen? Are you with me? We do not want to be, someone told me last week, you know, and they pointed at me, and they said, you are the leader here. You need to lead. Okay, good words. I'll take that. I'm going to lead in this way then. I want to lead in a way that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? Yeah. That we come to God in obedience and in confession, that we're going to be a people who are quick to repent. Did you hear that? Quick to repent. It's going to be easy for us to get on our knees because we need to get on our knees. We are going to repent. We are going to come before God, because one thing I do know from God's Word is that if we turn to Him, He will turn back to us. If you come to me, He says, I will come to you. Amen? That's the church we need to be a part of. That's what's real. That's what's genuine and authentic. So here's the question. Have you been grieving the Holy Spirit? Here's another indicator. You used to, the compassion and the love, maybe it used to come pretty easily, but you find yourself, if you pull up the dipstick, you look at it, you go, man, I'm a quart short on compassion today. I just don't care for these people anymore. I don't like them. I'm having a hard time with that. You know what? That happens when God isn't continually filling you. I need God to keep filling me, to keep filling me, to keep filling me. And when that's not happening in my life, it's because I've been grieving Him, and He sets Himself apart for a time. I hope you're understanding what God's Word's saying here. He has given us a deposit. He's given us a deposit guaranteeing that we are His. It says you are mine, it's authentic, and it's going to last forever. This is the seal of the Holy Spirit. And if you're feeling dry today, just like life is one big desert, and you don't know the joy that you used to know, you think about this. Peter said that the joy we should have through the Holy Spirit, it's unutterable and inexpressible. If you've got that, you've got nothing to worry about. You don't need to come forward. You don't need to pray. You don't need to get on your knees. But if the joy in your life has been diminished and it's gotten dull, it's lost its luster, maybe it's time to come back to Jesus and say, okay, I need to get back close to you, Jesus. And I need the Holy Spirit to revive me again. I need the reviving work of the Holy Spirit. I don't want that Spirit to mourn me. I don't want Him to be brokenhearted. One of the definitions, I didn't say this before, I'll just say it real quickly, but if you read about grieving, the most severe kinds of grieving often lead to symptoms of sickness in people's lives. Maybe you've had that before. You're so sad that someone died. You're so full of grief that you feel sick. You can't eat. You got stomach aches. You're sweating. You don't even, there's physical symptoms. And I wonder if sometimes the way that we live, we don't make the Holy Spirit sick to His stomach because of our disobedience. That's what it means today when I tell you, here's what it means to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But now get this, and you need to hear this today, that the Holy Spirit of God only grieves for you that intensely because He loves you that intensely, right? Isn't that true? Like if you didn't really love that person who died, you wouldn't grieve like you do. And I love this. He loves you, He loves you, He loves you. Know this today, that even though you grieve Him, He only grieves because He's got such a deep-seated love for you. It's an intense love. It is amazing. It's a wide, wide-scope love for you. He loves you so much that He grieves when you wander off from Him. And so, come. You know, there's no formula here. It's just, you got to get on your knees. You got to come to God. There's only one person who can get you straight with God, and that's you through Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ working in you. Amen? It's time for the dryness and the dullness to be gone. It's time that we get the compassion and the love back inside of us. It's time that our eyes start to be filled with the joy of God again. Amen? God loves you. He loves you with an amazing, divine, supernatural love. And right now, I'm just going to say, whoever He's calling, maybe He's convicting you today, or He's tugging on your heart, and He's saying, you know what, there's something I want more. I want more of you. You keep saying, listen to me. God says, you keep saying you want more of me, but I'm saying to you today, I want more of you, my child. I want more of you. I don't want to share you with the world. I don't want to share you with the party scene. I don't want to share you with anybody. I want all of you. If you want all of me, know this, I want all of you. So I'm going to ask you, anyone who has that, maybe there's, I don't know, I'm not going to say anymore. Come on up, we're going to pray. If you feel like it's time, this change needs to happen, come. Thank you, God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's time to get the Holy Spirit to draw near to us again. Amen? Thank you, God. This is the time to do that. It's time. What we're saying here today is really simple. This is not hard. This is really simple. I want to be close to you again. I want the fire. I want that consuming fire to just burn inside of me. I'm going to wait a minute because I think there's more that need to come. We're going to make a right relationship right now with God. And we're doing this seriously. This is something we're doing seriously. And God, we're doing this because God is laying it on our hearts. God is laying it on our hearts. Amen. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Thank you, God. Just not right now. Thank you, God. Bless you, God. Amen. Let's pray together. You guys who are sitting there, you pray hard. God, we come to you. And I thank you that you're the one who says that if I'll return, if you'll return to me, I'll return to you. So we're returning to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we confess, that we've grieved you in a lot of ways. That we've hurt you. We've broken your heart. Sometimes we've made you sick to your stomach. And all we can say today, God, is forgive us. Just wash us clean, Jesus. I pray, God, that you would create in us a clean heart. And renew a new spirit, a brand new spirit within us. Right now, God, I pray that your spirit would rest in us. You would not cast us away from your presence. Thank you, God. And I pray, Lord, that as we come before you this morning, that this is a strong indicator that we're a people who want to confess our sins. We want to be on our knees. That we need you, God. Draw us close to you. We want all of you. And we know that you want all of us. So God, just hear the cry of our heart. And for Lord, for some of us it's one thing and for other people it's another thing. We know that the enemy has his way of just getting that ugly toe in our lives. Get that little bit of leverage. Get that foothold. I pray in the name of Jesus right now, you'll forgive us. And we receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, and because of the blood of Jesus, we receive the forgiveness. We are no longer sinners. We are no longer condemned by the law. We are washed clean because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are your children, your sons and your daughters, and you have put your Holy Spirit within us as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come until the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We give you glory, God. We give you glory and honor, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Is that good? You say, thank you, Lord. I'll try that one more time. You say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. People are going to continue to pray and minister. And if you need something, you come forward for prayer. This is the time. Time to be set free. Amen. Thank you, God. So just stand. Let's worship God with this last song.
Holy Spirit, come. Let it be your home. Come and dwell among us. All of us to sing a song. Coming to this place. Sign on every day. Fill us with your love. Holy Spirit, come. Let me be your home. Come and dwell among. All of us to sing this song. Thank you.
Come, Lord, come. Come, God. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you right now. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May God give you his peace. God bless you. Amen. Holy Spirit, let me
nice.